Welcome to another MyTunes podcast here at manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
This week on MyTunes, we are using the world of Zoom because as of today, and indeed for a few weeks anyway, my guest can't get here at the moment, but he has been to the Isle of Man an awful lot, and you may well have seen him. He's a flautist, he's a lovely fella, he's a brilliant musician, he is, over there, I'm pointing at the screen, Simeon Wood. Welcome to MyTunes.
Thanks, Mark. It's lovely to see you as well, by the way.
I know, really we can good. See each other. It's magic. It's all magic, and it's working, and it's all working. Fingers crossed. When did you first come over here? When did you first come and join us on the Isle of Man?
Oh, I think it must be about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit less than 10 years ago. Yeah, I was, I met one of your residents on a cruise ship, and Pat was performing classical music on the ship, and we really hit it off, and she's been a very, very dear friend ever since. Amazing lady, incredible musician. So I've loved coming over.
Well, we love to have you here, and I know you're going to come back later on. We'll talk about the Isle of Man and all sorts a bit later, but I want to go right back to a very young Simeon. And were you drawn to the flute early on, or was it a bit of a mishap, an accident? How did your love of the flute start?
Yeah, right. Well, like a lot of kids back in the 60s, I was playing recorder. That was the instrument for children to learn. The recorder, it was cheap, easy to carry, easy enough to play, not easy to make a decent sound on. You have to be very, very gentle and very careful, and generally kids aren't. So I was playing the recorder at school. And then, again, like a lot of schools, we had visiting drama groups and musicians. And this one particular time, a classical wind quintet came. And they sit in a horseshoe shape, and there's a French horn, bassoon, oboe, clarinet, and the flute on the end. And I was mesmerized by the way it looked, the way it sounded, everything about it. I couldn't ever remember having seen one, certainly never seen one live before. And it wasn't a popular instrument. James Galway wasn't on the scene as a popular flautist in the late 60s. So it was a magical moment. And of course, probably like a lot of us who'd watched that wind quintet that day, I went home and I pestered my parents to buy me a flute. And of course, they didn't. So I had to wait another 2 years of pestering until they saved the money and realized it was just not a whim and I really did want to play the flute. And I started lessons at the age of 8. In fact, this very week, it is 50 years ago I started flute lessons.
Isn't that marvelous? 50 years.
It really is. 50 years. And I still love it. I love it. So I love it because it for me, it's the way I communicate.
It's been in, I don't know, popular culture in many different ways. You mentioned James Galway. Of course, you had Jethro Tull. You've had,
of course,
you've had historical references to it. In fact, I don't know, I lived and worked in Germany for many years. And Ian Anderson, the Jethro Tull, is considered to be the emblem of Hamelin, Hameln, the Pied Piper.
Oh, of course.
So
yes,
whenever he rocks up there, he's treated like royalty.
Ian Anderson, I guess him and Galway are on a par for me because they encapsulate two very different styles of playing, two very different disciplines, and I love them both. One is very rigid, very classically trained, very technical, and the other one, I think you can guess, is less so. But the amount of energy Ian Anderson puts into that flute is inspiring. I love him. And I remember seeing him on Top of the Pops back in the
late 60s, early 70s.
Early 70s, with Jethro Tull,
When did you first get an idea that playing this beautiful instrument might not just be something you do in your own time, but actually becomes your life?
Well, it's not the kind of story you'd want or expect. Really, I realised as I was doing my O levels in those days, GCSEs nowadays, that actually playing the flute was the only thing that I was slightly competent at. So I kind of put a lot of my energy and time into that, and a lot of my parents' energy and time and money into that. And gradually, from probably the age of 15 to the age of 18, got to a standard where a music college would like me to go and audition at least. And probably again, like a lot of schools, we had careers days, and someone would come in and talk about joining the police or the armed forces or textiles in our area or being a secretary. But it was very limited as to what career path you could go into. So it was only when I got to music college that I realised actually you can make a living out of playing music. I'd never really thought about it until I got to music college.
We'll talk more about the music college and growing up tomorrow, but let's have the first track from Kate Bush. A lovely choice. Any particular reason?
I fell in love with Kate Bush, not just because of how beautiful she was, but I first saw her on, do you remember the programme Pebble Mill at One?
I do.
I loved that show. It was a lunchtime show, and I think Alan Titchmarsh, amongst others, would present it. And they had this lady on called Kate Bush singing Wuthering Heights. And I was mesmerised by it. She was something that you, kind of a performance that you'd never seen before. She danced and moved to the music. The music was quite, was very lyrical, but it didn't have a very easy and memorable melody to it. And I've discovered over the years that actually Kate Bush wrote music with her brother, and she never wanted to be a star. She just wanted to express herself through music. And I love that. I love that. So this for me is, it captures that whole feeling of what music is all about.
Who it gets done?
This week on My Tunes, I'm joined over the magic, and it is magic, of Zoom by flautist Simeon Wood, no stranger to the Isle of Man. And yesterday, Simeon, we just about got you through school and into music college, and I've just had this idea that we should make a musical, a flute version of Billy Elliot, because I think it was and the flute. It was a bit like Billy and his dancing. You pursued the flute in the face of all the careers advisors. Everyone saying, why don't you go and do that and do that? He said, no, we're going to play me flute. And you did. Should we make that movie?
And I did. I did. I think we should. And you know, yesterday we were talking about Ian Anderson.
Yes.
And I met one of the owners of Chrysalis Records, who Jethro Tull were assigned to back in the late 60s. And this guy I was talking to said, you know, we're thinking of making a musical about Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull. But that was a long time ago, and it's still not come to fruition. But I hope they do.
Can I just suggest, dear executive producer, look up Mr. Simeon Wood. He'd be the perfect person to play the role. And you could be Ian Anderson. It'd be fantastic. You'd be great. Get the wig. Get the wig on.
I'd love that.
And the long coat.
Get the big wig and the beard on. That's right.
You'd be perfect.
Learn to stand on one leg.
Yes. It's going to be... right, we'll have a word, whoever's going to make it. There's so many strands to your life. And obviously, I've known you for a long time and read lots about you as well and seen you perform. But encouraging others in music is a massive part of your life, both at home and when you come here. How important is it to you to work with young people and get them into music?
Well, as I said yesterday, that's how I started. I saw someone enthusiastically playing, and so I just figure now that is my duty, but it's my privilege as well to be able to go into schools to encourage kids. It's not just about playing the flute, but it's encouraging them to watch live music, watch people in person, you know, instead of on YouTube or other medium. It's so important to watch as well as listen to music. So I love going into schools and inspiring children. And of course, my medium is the flute. And so I take flutes from all over the world with me, and one or two silly instruments as well, which they like a lot more than the flutes. But it is to encourage them to look beyond the recorder or the ukulele that they're playing and to move on. And I've certainly enjoyed that on the Isle of Man. I've loved going into many schools on the island and just being enthusiastic about what I do and seeing people change and to be encouraged and yeah, I love seeing their eyes widen as I'm playing, and it's magical.
When you got through college, what was your first sort of professional role for you to earn a living doing what you love?
Oh, gosh. It didn't happen straight away. I earning a living, my goodness me. Well, the first thing that I did, which my colleagues thought was going to be a big mistake, after I'd finished music college, I went and lived and worked on a Christian community in North Devon, and I was there for 2 years, and really my musician friends thought that would be the kiss of death. Actually, it was the very start of going out and performing and writing music. That's when I really started to write music as well. And a guitarist that I worked with at music college also came down and joined the community. And we were there for 2 years. And then we launched ourselves onto the music scene. And as my friend John often used to say, he said, we went from earning next to nothing on this community to earning absolutely nothing as musicians. So it was a very slow burner, but we had the enthusiasm and really just did as much as we possibly. Someone gave us the advice that you must go out and do as much as possible, as long as you at least break even. And so that's what we did. We really went everywhere and did anything that we were asked to do.
Let's have today's choice of music, which I think is a fascinating one. It is Rick Astley. It's Life, Jim, but not as we know it. So Rick Astley in a different sort of vein.
Yes. So this is the 1987 pop song, Never Gonna Give You Up. However, this is the 2019 version of it. And Rick Astley, of course, first performed this song with Stock Aitken and Waterman. But this, for me, this version for me just proves that, you know, with different harmonies and a different style of arrangement, you can very easily completely change a piece of music.
Strangers to love, you know the rules, and so do I. A full commitment's while I'm thinking of you. Wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just wanna tell you how I'm feeling. I gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. We've known each other for so long, your heart's been aching, but you're too shy to say it. Inside we both know what's been going on. We know the game and we're gonna play it. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. I'm never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. No, I'm never gonna give you up. No, I'm never gonna let you down. No, I'll never run around. Known each other for so long, your heart's been aching, but I'm never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. I'm never gonna give you up. No, I'm never gonna let you down. No, I'll never run around and hurt you. I'll never, ever desert you.
This week on My Tunes, we are Zooming, because at the moment, Simeon Wood, my guest, flautist and wonderful fella, and a brilliant teacher as well, is not on the Isle of Man, although he will be back. He will return. Simeon, thank you for coming on My Tunes.
My pleasure. Loving it, Mark. Thank you.
Where are you exactly?
I'm in Huddersfield in West Yorkshire.
It's a fantastic connection. It's better than the bean can and string we had last week. Huddersfield's got good connectivity.
It really does.
We could promote Huddersfield to the nth degree. I've got to talk about this because it was, I don't know, it took me by surprise. I don't know why, but it did. You appeared on Britain's Got Talent.
Now, yes.
And it was amazing. How did that happen?
Right, okay. Well, just before I tell you that, My relationship with Britain's Got Talent is a very negative one.
Yeah.
For all the years that it's been on, up until I went on it, I've disliked it immensely because I just found that the show is just an entertainment show. It's not about the talent. It's just it is just a show about the whole show is entertainment. It's not just the people performing on it. And I found a lot of the comments very disrespectful, and I don't like that as a character trait in people. There was nothing to help those who were struggling to be performers. It was just very negative in order to get the laughs or in order to get the number of views, and I don't like that. So I stayed away from it. I never watched it, And then 3 or 4, if before years ago now, I suppose, I was rung up by the TV company that Britain's Got Talent, and they invited me on the show, as they do. And I, unbeknownst to me, that's 50% of the acts on there, they are brought in by the company. They you don't audition, they find you.
I just stop and you there. So they must have scouts all over the place looking for people.
They have a team that just go on the internet, basically. So if you've got an internet profile, then and you've done some YouTube clips, then they have a massive team that will research it. So they approached me, and I hesitated slightly. They said that they were going to send a very long questionnaire, which was 7 or 8 pages long, which they did. And once I read through the questionnaire and filled it in, I thought, yeah, maybe I could justify doing this and going on and having a bit of fun and not taking it too seriously. And when I got there, actually, I was very pleasantly surprised how professional it all was. The backstage crew were phenomenal. They really were superb and couldn't do enough for you. And so I felt that it was a safe enough environment to do what I do, and I did it. And I don't regret doing it at all. It's not a major part of my life, but it was just something I thought I need to do it.
It's fascinating, though, to know that they asked you and they draw people in. Which is, as you say, it's an entertainment program, as you said right at the top. And you do entertain. You're a very entertaining musician, so it's not a surprise to me that they got you in there. What did you say you were going to do if you got further up? You had some amazing things you had planned.
Yeah, that's right. So the big thing was, if you do get through, then what's going to be your second show, and then what's going to be your final show? So you join in at the quarterfinal stage, basically, and then they say whether or not you've got through to the semis. So I said, if I get through to the semis, then I'll be playing the bicycle pump. And then if I get through to the finals, I'm not quite sure. I think I had a thing at that point called an udderbot, which is a beer bottle with a rubber glove strapped to the end of it, which, going back to the schools, the kids absolutely adore it because it's very visual and very funny. But it doesn't play that well, but it doesn't really matter.
Her Majesty missed a trick.
She did.
She would have loved it. Well, there's a big Jubilee show coming up this year. We'll have a word with the BBC, who are organising.
I'm really excited about that. I feel really proud of our royal family. What an amazing queen she is. Just incredible. And I'm so excited to be able to celebrate that. I wouldn't say I'm a royalist by any means, but... Ah, my goodness me, what a lady, what a lady.
Very few generations, probably hardly any, can say that you and I can sit here and say she's been our queen for all of our life, all our lives.
Yeah, don't say that. That's right. You know. It is amazing. Yeah, but incredible.
Let's have today's choice. What have we got?
So this is a lady called LP, or her full name is Laura Pergolizzi. I think that's how you pronounce it. And I first saw her on the internet and I was mesmerized. Her voice was hauntingly wonderful and very strong. But what got me, I think, more than anything was that even through the camera, she engaged with me in such a way that is very rare with a good singer. You can be a good performer, a good musician, but not necessarily engage with your audience. And really, you need both to get the magic going. And for me, she's really got it in spades. I'm quite in love with her. I think she's an amazing lady.
And the track we're going to hear?
Lost on You, which was her first European hit back in 2015.
To say the last couple of years have been tricky for people in the performing arts is a ludicrous understatement. It's been tough for everyone. But if you've been trying to perform in front of an audience, it's been nigh on impossible. Simeon Wood, how tricky has it been for you?
Well, yeah, it has been impossible. Certainly for the first 12, 14 months, it was impossible to go out and perform. And to put anything on the books either, no one really wanted to book events knowing or possibly that they were going to have to be cancelled. It takes a lot of time, a lot of energy. So people just weren't doing it. So I decided very early on to put everything online and do live shows online. And the day before lockdown, I managed to gear up and get the appropriate cameras and mixing desks and things, and to be able to set up to do a decent job at performing live, through various social media outlets. And that's what I'm going to continue to do, even though live events have started opening up a little bit. Yeah, because I found it valuable. I found that there are some people that can't get out, people in hospitals, people in nursing homes, they can't get out to venues. They've never have been able to get out to venues. So to keep going like this is still, whilst there might not be many people listening all the time, it's still a valuable thing to do.
I watched those, a lot of them, as you know, and pinged and said hello and waved from the other
Yeah.
hand. You did such a fine job on those.
I mean, thanks,
whole
Mark.
Set that, I mean, you were at home, but the lighting, the sound, because between you and me, a lot of these online things have been horrendous. Other people's over there. I mean, very well meant, but not really doing anything. Yours,
yeah.
I felt I was really invited to something special when I clicked on yours. And thank you for them.
Oh, no. Well, it was a very steep learning curve. But I guess what I did is I didn't think of anything other than there is an audience behind this camera. Because I think if you're just playing to your mobile phone, then it's pretty poor. But you have to engage with an invisible audience, which that was difficult. But I did just try and imagine everyone sat at home and in the comfort of their own homes, curled up to the radiator or put the fire on, whatever. And just a different way of doing it. But I did enjoy it. I will carry on doing those.
I did have a brilliant idea. I'm too late. I'm two years late. I was going to share it with you. Joe Wicks and you, music and movement, PE with Joe with a flute. I mean, that would have made you'd have never worked again. You'd have been so, it was squillions of people. Could you imagine music and movement with Simeon and Joe? Bit of paid a fortune for
that. As long as I wouldn't have to do the movement.
No, you do the play.
Just play, yeah. Just play, that's fine. But I don't do exercise. I once heard this saying. I think I was in Australia at the time and I heard this comedian say, I don't do exercise. He said, I was born with a lazy eye and it quickly spread to the rest of my body.
Oh, good line.
And I feel that is my life when it comes to exercise. I really don't. I don't do any exercise.
It's a good line. That's consider that well and truly stolen. So look, all being well, this year there are green shoots of it happening, and well, things are happening. Gigs are happening. People are moving. You're coming back to see us in the Isle of Man.
I am. In fact, I came over in October, fleeting visit, and played at the Centenary Centre in Peel. And what a great venue that is. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, I love it. The people who work there, the venue itself, just amazing. You're so, so lucky. You really are.
But you're coming back again.
Yeah, coming back again this year. Date to be arranged, but lovely. Yeah, definitely back this year.
Well, we can't wait to see you. And I know the schools will be queuing up to have you back as well to entertain us all and all our little ones as well. Final track, where are we going
with it? It's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic. So this is a 70s hit by ELO. And I quite often I like the stories behind songs, and this intrigued me. So Jeff Lynne and ELO had already brought out one album, and the success was so sudden that they had to bring out a second album, but they had no music. So Jeff Lynne went away to Switzerland to write the music and to hold himself up in this beautiful Swiss chalet to be inspired by the beautiful vista. But unfortunately, it was foggy and rainy all the time that he was there, until the last day when the fog lifted, the mist disappeared, the clouds parted, the sun came out, and he wrote this classic track, Mr. Blue Sky. And I love it because it's uplifting, it's hopeful. Yeah, just very, very positive. And we all need that.
Well, here's to you and a great year ahead. And that Ian Anderson biopic, I can see you in it now. I'll start ordering the clothes. I'll get on.
Please.
Simeon Wood, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks.
Simeon Wood, my guest all this week. Great choices, great chat, and thank you. And here's to seeing you back over here very soon on the Isle of Man. I'm Mark Tiley. Join me when you can, Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 12, for The Shore Morning Show.